Plastic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Well, today's medium-term budget policy statement was the first true test of the GNU's ability to balance all of these competing priorities, growth versus redistribution, fiscal discipline versus political deliverables. Finance Minister Enoch Godongwana certainly struck an optimistic tone, saying debt has finally stabilised, spending is being reprioritised, and the state is committed to both discipline and development, but with debt service costs still crowding out social spending and a wage bill that still swallows the lion's share of the budget, where does this leave workers, the public sector, and the promise of a developmental state? Well, joining me to unpack all of this is Matthew Parks, Parliamentary Coordinator for COSATU. Matthew, let's just start with your first impressions. Welcome. The Minister called this a budget about growth, stability, and reform. From COSATU's perspective, did you see a people-centred budget?
There's some positive things there, and that there has been some progress we've seen the past few months, which must really, applaud. You know, exiting the grey listing, overcoming load shedding, the improved performance at Transnet and Metrorail, the real remarkable turnaround of the South African Revenue Service. You know, the jobs figures yesterday have 250,000 new jobs in the last 3 months. So those are good things. There is some additional allocation to Transnet Freight Rail, to health, to schooling and so forth. But our fear is that, and there's also a positive, increase in the GDP growth average for the next 3 years to 1.8%. So that's, positive from where we were. Well, that's double this year's growth rate, if I'm right. But I think for us, the fear is that we need to get a 3%. We need to really see an economy brimming. We need to see unemployment falling by at least 1% each quarter. And we don't really see what in the budget is actually going to take us from 1.8 to 3%. So that's our fear. And our fear is that at times we focus too much on deficits and surpluses, etc., and whilst important, but we also need to get the economy really getting to 3% at long last to really turn the corner on these things. So for us, it's a mixed bag.
On that fiscal discipline versus social spending, a primary surplus of 0.9% of GDP this year, but achieving that has meant holding down real public sector wage growth and cutting underperforming programs through this new targeted and responsible savings, the TARS initiative. How does COSATU reconcile its support for fiscal sustainability with its concern about austerity measures that often hit workers hardest?
Look, Bas, we know there's always a question of balancing contradictions. That's inevitable. The wage bill actually has shrunk significantly in the past few years. At a peak in democracy in 94, it was about 40%. It went down to about 38-35% in the past 2 years. It's now sitting at about 31%. Our fear here is that we're imposing almost a bit of a brutal cut, and we're losing key skills in the public service. We're seeing a rise in the teacher-to-learner ratio, or the ratio of doctors and nurses to patients, or police to society. And I think our fear is that we rather would want to cut back on management, cut back on politicians, and rather reinforce public services, frontline services that the average worker, average business depends upon. But we are pleased that government has made progress on something we've been calling for years, on tackling the issue of ghost posts.
Yeah.
We've long been convinced that there's something there. We had seen it in Metrorail before for about 3,000. The minister announced they found about 9,000, it looks like. That audit needs to be extended to the public sector entities, the SOEs and municipalities, because we're convinced you'll find an equally, easily a similar number there. And that's money that should be saved, but also critically, that's money that should be used to hire the nurses, the doctors, the teachers, the police officers who provide the real skills that society requires. So there is progress. But I think, again, when we're sitting at 1% growth, 42% unemployment, we need to do much more, much faster.
9,000 ghost workers. I mean, let's just assume they're mid-level earning 500,000 a year. That's 4.5 billion rand. I mean, we don't know what money was leaking out. But I mean, these are vast sums. So as you point out, at least the government is starting to look into that, but a long way to go. If you look at it, the minister forecasts 1.2% GDP growth this year, 1.8% rising out to 2028. As you said, that's hardly enough to absorb new entrants into the labour market, let alone reduce unemployment. What concrete measures did you see in this MTBPS that will actually stimulate job creation, particularly for younger and lower skilled workers?
I think for us, and we agree with government, it's about addressing the fundamental obstacles to growth. You've got to make sure you have reliable and affordable electricity. At least we have reliable electricity largely now. We now need to make it affordable because we're seeing many industrial sectors, smelters, foundries closing, etc. Again, we've seen progress in Transnet, which is key to mining, manufacturing, agriculture. And I think some of the reforms will help us take it to the next level. The announcement by the Minister for Transport about expanding passenger rail services can be a game changer because you help reduce congestion on the roads, you make it cheaper for workers to get to work, they arrive on time, reduce road congestion, etc. I think those are key things. The one more difficult thing which you didn't see really much new in the MTBBS is around local government. You know, 10 years ago, we had about 10% of our municipalities in financial trouble. Today, it's about 70%. So you have municipalities who don't pay staff, don't pay pension funds, don't provide municipal services. You see companies closing as a consequence. So we need to have a much more aggressive approach. There was an announcement by the minister about an intervention in some Mpumalanga municipalities around water and electricity. That's a good thing. Where these councils can't provide basic services, let's ask the Department of Water Affairs or SANRAL or ESCOM to take over and manage it. You can capacitate them as you go. But we need to see that kind of approach across the country. What you see in Northwest, in the Free State, is really a horror story. Times government has intervened many times. I think in Ditsobotla, in the Northwest, they've put the council under administration, I think, 4 times in the past decade. So we need a fundamental structural shift in some of these areas, perhaps even consolidating some of these municipalities. But if you want to get the economy out of a quagmire, we've got to do some things differently.
I mean, we saw it with that program to try and use the carrot rather than the stick to get non-paying municipalities to settle their outstanding arrears with ESCOM. That's actually increased by 10 billion from 68 billion to 78 billion rand. So it really is a crisis because if you don't have well-functioning municipalities who are collecting what is owed to them and paying it over to ESCOM, that cascades then through into the state. When we look at the illicit trade economy and the revenue leakage there, the mini budget highlighted 40 billion rand in lost excise revenue to illicit trade since 2020. I know COSATU has previously campaigned on tightening enforcement and protecting jobs in legitimate industries like tobacco and alcohol. Do you think the measures outlined, suspending non-compliant licenses and strengthening the Fix SARS partnership, go far enough?
I mean, the turnaround at SARS in the past 5-6 years must really be applauded. We think we need to give more support to SARS. We should just write them a blank check. They managed to improve tax compliance from 61 to 66% in the past couple of years. We think we should, let's have a target of 75% tax compliance over the next 3 years and write them a check. If they need 10 billion, 20 billion, whatever it is, give it to them, because you're going to get that money back and plus many more fold. And every 1% tax compliance you achieve is about 25 billion rand in existing taxes. You don't need to have new taxes, just enforce the existing ones. And I think SARS has shown you how you can rebuild the state. You appoint competent management. They fired about 500 persons involved in corruption. You invest in the institution by hiring skilled workers, filling critical vacancies. You invest in the IT capacity, etc. And they're beginning to show some progress around the illicit trade. But we think for us, all 3 critical parts for SARS: customs enforcement, most goods coming through our ports are not inspected. Yeah. That's a major source of leakage that threatens local jobs, local businesses. The illicit trade of tobacco, alcohol, petrol, oil, and so forth. And also you have many parts of the economy, informal, which don't pay taxes, like the taxi industry. And it doesn't make sense to squeeze the nurses and teachers who have nowhere to run, but then you allow others just to get away with murder, so to speak. And it's not a question of poverty. Often those who avoid it are amongst the most wealthy persons.
Yeah, exactly. Just look at some of the car dealerships and what people are driving around at the moment. It's not too difficult to track them down. Now, just last, there's been a lot of talk of professionalizing the public service using performance-linked mechanisms. The new procurement payment dashboard was also launched to promote transparency in supplier payments. Do you welcome these accountability reforms, or is there a concern that technocratic oversight could come at the expense of worker representation and bargaining power?
No, look, we always have long called for many interventions to improve the productivity levels of public service. In fact, our members often get frustrated. So often for us, it's not about a PowerPoint. It's about filling nursing vacancies, because if you have one nurse performing 2 or 3 nurses' jobs, she's going to be overstretched. Similarly, at Home Affairs, if you have a 60% vacancy rate, you're not going to resolve the issues. Oftentimes, it's something as basic as in the police about making sure you have working vehicles. If half the vehicles don't work, it makes it difficult for those police officers to go and chase after criminals. They can't, run 5Ks to go and arrest somebody. It's also about investing in the institution's IT infrastructure. The police stations, Home Affairs, are constantly offline because of the CETA, the aging infrastructure, the quality of our police stations, of our Defence Force barracks, of our hospitals. It leaves much to be desired. So I think you'll find public servants are amongst those who are most eager to see improvements, because it'll help ease their burden. They don't also have any satisfaction to see members of the public who are frustrated. They are also frustrated. And of course, public servants themselves are also recipients of public services. So I think you'll find that they're passionate about fixing the state. Often, I think they just want somebody for management to listen to their suggestions, and they will find these are valuable allies to turning the state around. So look at SARS. SARS has shown you if you embrace the staff, you invested them, you will exceed your productivity. In fact, society will have many more returns on what you spent, and society, the economy will benefit as a consequence.
And indeed, I was chatting to Mteso Enyathi, the chairman of Eskom. Similarly, the way the staff were embraced, turned around at Eskom, those who were corrupt were pursued. But to turn the morale around is why we're sitting now with an energy availability factor above 70% and no load shedding again. Just lastly, Matthew, look at this. What would Kasatu like to see potentially change come February when the main budget is tabled? I know this isn't the budget where new taxes are announced, but there was a hint that we could potentially see 20 billion rand in new taxes, despite this extra money that we've collected largely thanks to the run in PGMs and gold. What would you like to see come February?
I think for us, maybe three quick things. On the tax issue, don't have new taxes. Sure, reduce the tax loopholes, the rich exploit illicit taxes, etc. Just invest in SARS. They can improve tax compliance. We shouldn't squeeze the poor any further. I think also for us, fundamentally, it's about having a mass industrial SME financing package from the fiscus, from the development of finance institutions, from the private sector, because you have to take us from 1.8% to 3%. And also have a really bold public employment program as well for the medium term to help young people who can't find work to enter the labor market, get the skills, experience they need to find long-term work. So I think for us, those are the three critical things we would really push hard for.
That was Matthew Parks, Parliamentary Coordinator at Kasatu. Thank you, Matthew, weighing in on a medium-term budget that promises fiscal stability. But I think for many South African workers, it still leaves big questions about job creation, about public sector morale, and the balance between discipline and development. You're listening to Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.